Please be seated. As we do each year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, today we remember Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Our scripture lessons remind us how the risen Jesus calls us and leads us, how Jesus seeks us when we stray, how we are called to listen for his voice and to follow him into close relationship. Because Jesus is the shepherd who knows us, who knows his flock, who leads us. It's probably safe for me to say that most of us do not encounter sheep or shepherds in our daily life, certainly not here on Hope Street thus far. And I wonder if maybe sometimes we have a romanticized view of sheep. We think of those white, fluffy creatures. They're so cute. Maybe we hold stereotypes about they're not very intelligent. But I would suggest there's nothing romantic about sheep. They are farm animals valuable for their coat, their wool. For some, they provide food. And sheep are not stupid, but they are creatures who seek to be led. They trust and follow a leader to bring them to safe places, to gather them in pastures where they can graze. And they come to recognize the shepherd's voice and to respond to it. And they look to the shepherd to lead and also protect them from danger. Once they establish that relationship, they go where the shepherd goes. They won't go anywhere without that shepherd if they can help it. In fact, if the shepherd stands behind the flock, they'll move around behind so they can follow that shepherd. Throughout Scripture, God is often referred to as shepherd of the people, leading and guiding them, providing for them, protecting them. I was thinking of this week, of how in Psalm 100, in the second verse, we hear, "Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And certainly leaders like King David, who was literally a shepherd before he was king, are viewed as shepherds charged by God to care for the people. But at the same time, in the time of Jesus, shepherds had a less than good reputation. They lived at the margins of society. They were viewed suspiciously by righteous people. I'm always finding it surprising on Christmas Eve when we hear how Luke entrusts the news of the birth of the Savior, proclaimed by those heavenly hosts of angels, how that message is entrusted to shepherds living at the margins, keeping watch over their flock by night. In today's gospel, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, and I wonder if we often think about good in terms of a binary. People are good, people are bad. In John's gospel, though, that's not what John is saying. The Greek translated as good, kalos, does not mean that kind of good or bad. Rather, it is something much more. It actually suggests that Jesus is the model shepherd. Jesus is the true shepherd. Jesus is the one who embodies the qualities of a shepherd in his very being, his identity, his actions. And so John is telling us that Jesus is the ultimate shepherd, the one who in his being and identity is shepherd, the shepherd who is concerned with the well-being of each individual as well as with the entire flock. Jesus is a shepherd who calls and gathers, who protects the flock, who even gives his life for them. And it is through his death and resurrection that Jesus leads the flock from this world with its ways of sin and death into life eternal, claiming the flock forever and never letting go of them. This relationship between Jesus the Good Shepherd and the flock of his sheep, his followers, is marked by intimacy. Jesus knows each member of the flock. Jesus knows each of his followers by name and calls, and asks that those who follow him listen for his voice and go where he leads. The relationship that Jesus has with the flock is modeled on his relationship that he has with the Father. Just as Jesus and the Father are one, dwelling together in intimate love, abiding in love, so Jesus is one with the sheep in the same way. This loving intimacy means that Jesus will do whatever is needed for the well-being of the flock. Unlike that hired shepherd, the hired hand who abandons the flock at the sign of danger, Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus even lays down his life in defense of the sheep. And with his wounded hands bearing the scars of his passion, he gathers and holds the flock, bringing them safely even through death. And through the waters of baptism, we share in his death, and we also share in the promise of his resurrection to eternal life. Jesus, our shepherd, promises to lead us to eternity, to the heavenly banquet that God prepares. Now, let's be clear, this does not mean that we don't know challenges, suffering, fear in this world. It does not mean that we won't die, for we all will die. But it means that the Good Shepherd is with us always in whatever we experience, whatever befalls us, present with us, leading us, comforting us, and keeping us safe for eternity. As Psalm 23 reminds us, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We still have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, but the promise is the Good Shepherd is with us, leading us safely, his staff before us, leading and comforting us. Just as the shepherd never abandons the sheep, but leads them in every situation and through every danger, so Jesus does for us. Jesus calls us each by name, that name bestowed on us in baptism. And in baptism, we are claimed by Jesus forever, the sign of the cross made on our forehead, marking us as belonging to Jesus for eternity. We literally are marked as Christ's own, united to him, becoming his flock. And throughout our earthly life, Jesus calls us by our name, guiding us in that unique vocation, the work to which we are uniquely called. Jesus invites us into loving intimacy, that same intimacy that he shares with the Father. And by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the risen Jesus is present with us. The Spirit, that abiding presence of the risen Christ, God with us, as close and as intimate as our own breath. We are baptized into the very name of Jesus, the one whose identity we share, the one who is as close to us as to the Father. And in his name we find life and also power. Our first lesson today from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear how the authorities have arrested Peter and John because they healed a lame man. And they asked these two followers of Jesus, by what power or by what name did you do this? Peter answers full of the Holy Spirit, no more hiding in a locked room, no more being afraid. Peter answers with great power in the Spirit, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This passage shows us how the first followers of Jesus are empowered by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, how they go out into the world, leaving behind their fear And they act just as Jesus did in the world. They preach, they teach. Oh my gosh. They preach, they heal, they teach. And they do all these things in the name of Jesus by the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the same name into which we, you and I, are baptized. This is the very same Holy Spirit we have received. In this name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we find the power we need to go to the world, to share the good news of Jesus' resurrection, to bring hope to those who are forgotten, who live at the margins. By the power of the Holy Spirit, our fear is swept away, our doubts assuaged, and we are able to set out in Jesus' name, led by the Spirit. And so this day, Jesus, our Good Shepherd, calls each of us by name and extends to us the invitation to be gathered by him into one flock under one shepherd, to follow him in the path he leads. May we open ourselves as a community through prayer so that we hear his call and we follow his way. May we claim the gifts of the Holy Spirit given us in baptism to do the work he calls us to do, that holy work that brings to fruition God's plan of salvation. May we claim the power of his name into which we are baptized, that we go forth into the world proclaiming him in word and deed. And may the power of the Holy Spirit be with us, fill us, empower us to be his loving, healing presence in our world, a world so deeply divided by strife and by hatred. But let us move forward without fear into this challenging and uncertain time, trusting that Jesus the Good Shepherd calls us, leads us, gathers us, and protects us. Following him, let us trust that he will show us the way to go, that he will protect us from all danger, and that at the last he will lead us to pastures of abundant and unending life, into the community of love that is our triune God. Amen.